Today's lesson is taken from Luke chapter 8, our Lord's parable of the sower. Let me read verses 4 through 8. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering his seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When Jesus had said this, he called out, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." Now the parable is drawn from an everyday event, a farmer sowing seed. This was a common sight for the people. And you've got to try and imagine a farmer walking in his field, walking up and down the furrows, scattering the seed indiscriminately. And the seed falls in a variety of soil. It falls on a path, along the rocks, among the thorns, and also on good soil. Now the seed on the path, Jesus tells us, doesn't grow. It's trampled on. The seed on the rock has no moisture, and it dies. The seed sown among the thorns, well, that's choked, while the seed sown on good soil is fruitful. Having said that, Jesus then appeals to the people, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." Well, these people had already heard, so what does Jesus mean? He's calling upon the people to listen with the intent of practicing what Jesus has been speaking about. In verses 9 and 10, our Lord says this. His disciples asked Jesus what this parable meant. And he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." Jesus hasn't deliberately concealed his message from people by working in their hearts to such an extent that they cannot respond to the message. Really, Jesus has in mind here people who have persistently resisted the message that he has proclaimed. To those people, the rich, deeper things of the kingdom of God are kept from them. They don't see it. They don't understand it. Though they've heard the message, because they're unreceptive to let the word of God sink into their hearts, the message really is being concealed. They see, but don't see. They hear, but they don't understand. In verses 11 through 15, Jesus now explains the parable. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. But they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Jesus is saying here, there's four kinds of soil that the seed is sown in. There's the path. These are the people who hear the message, but then Satan comes and takes that message from their hearts. Straight away we see here that wherever there's evangelism, wherever the word of God is being proclaimed, Satan will be actively trying to discourage people from believing. This is how the Apostle Paul said it to the Corinthians. In his second epistle, in the fourth chapter, he states, And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. He's saying here that Satan blinds people's minds so they don't understand the gospel. They don't understand the message of the cross. They are spiritually blind. Granted, they have 20/20 vision physically, but spiritually, they just don't see. The second kind of soil is the seed that's sown on a rock. Now, these people hear the message. And at first, when they hear the message, they delight in the message. There's a type of people, they hear the message, they're thrilled about it, they run out and buy themselves a new Bible. They're all enthusiastic. But then after a while, it becomes evident that really that word never took root in their hearts. It made no impact in their hearts. The seed is just dying in their lives. And there's no fruit born, even though initially it shows some promise. And thirdly, in verse 14, there's a seed that's sown among the thorns. Now, nothing grows here in a heart of this type of person. Here's the person who hears the message, but it never grows. It's choked. But what is it that chokes that message? Well, it's the world agenda that dominates this person's life. This person, his whole focus on life is wrong. Granted, he hears the word of God. He hears the message. But then it's the worries of the world, the riches of the world, the pleasures of the world. All of those things dominate his heart. And as a result, he does not have a heart that's receptive to the word of God. The word of God will never grow in such a heart. His life is filled with all the wrong types of things. The worries and the fretting over the things going on in the world. The world, its riches and its promises of all sorts of things, and yet never delivers it. None of that helps this individual be a receptive person to the word of God. But then finally, in verse 15, there's seed sown on good soil. Now Jesus says that these people here, in whose heart this word has been sown, he talks about them as people who've got good and noble hearts. And when the word is sown in their hearts, first of all, they hear that word. Secondly, they retain the word. Number three, they persevere in their Christian life. And number four, they produce a crop. So these are the people who allow the word of God into their hearts. The Hebrew epistle in chapter 4, verse 12, speaks about the word of God being living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. That it pierces the heart and soul, and it digs deep into the heart of the individual. The individual who has that noble and good heart, who hears and retains and perseveres, that's the individual who is blessed by the message of the Word of God. And that's the individual who lives his life or her life for God. And as a result of that, they produce a huge crop. They're spiritually fruitful people. Now in verses 16 through 18, Jesus makes a point here. It's not a digression from the parable of the sower, but really it's complementing the points that he's already been making. He says, no one lights a lamp or hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in and see the light, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Jesus wants people not just to listen to his word, but to believe what he says, to embrace it. And he illustrates that by way of reference to a lamp or a light. A lamp, you don't light a lamp and put it under a container. The purpose of the light is to dispel the darkness. The light, to be effective, must engage the darkness and scatter the darkness. Jesus is saying here that he has made known to his disciples, has given them insight into the secrets of the kingdom of God. With that knowledge, it's like a lamp. It is to be shared with people. It is to be made known throughout the world. And that's why he points out, having mentioned this thing about the lamp and it dispelling darkness, he says, therefore consider carefully how you listen. So he's saying, all that I've been talking about, this parable of the sower sowing seed, and the one kind of soil that becomes fruitful, I want you to be careful how you listen. Pay close attention to the things that I'm saying. Then another point is made directly after that, which ties in with what Jesus has been saying in the parable. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside waiting to see you. And Jesus replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. What's he saying here? Is that all that I've been teaching, I want people to embrace. Not just listen to it and do nothing about it. I want them to listen and put it into practice. I want them to live out the truth of those words. I want to see their lives committed to being my disciples, to being my followers, committing their lives to me. Here's his family. He says, my real family, it is a spiritual family, and it's composed not of blood brothers or sisters. It's composed of people who hear my word and put it into practice. That's the family of Jesus. Now let's make an application from all of this. First of all, the fruitful crop that's produced on that good soil, it doesn't appear overnight. A fruitful crop takes time to grow. So the parable is talking not about a person's initial response to the gospel. The parable is talking about people who continue in the gospel. When you look back at the story, in three of the categories, the word of God was sown, and there was some level, maybe it may have been small, but there was some level of response to that message. But it never lasted. It never produced enduring fruit. It showed life, but then died. It's the type of people who start out well, but never finish. They show such potential. They show such promise, but they never produce. Now, what we need to be careful of here is this. What about people who hear the word of God and are genuinely converted to the Lord, but then fall away? Is there any word of hope for them? Of course there is. Anybody who has confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, who has been immersed into the name of the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, if that person falls away, and I've known people who have fallen away, but later on in their lives they come back, they repent and turn back their lives to Almighty God. So even though a person falls away, it doesn't mean that they cannot return to God. Of course they can. If they've been genuinely converted, not only can they will turn back to the Lord. A second point here is that fruitfulness has to be intentional. The seed that produces this great harvest is intentional. We cannot be spiritually fruitful by accident. Steps have to be taken to ensure that we grow and bear fruit to the glory of God. We need to have a spiritual exercise program in our daily lives. Do you remember what Paul said to Timothy? Exercise yourself unto godliness. You have to get out and work at growing spiritually. Have to live a disciplined life. Now, how do we do that, or what does that look like in our lives? We need to cultivate a holy habit of reading the Word of God daily. Now, I stress the word holy habit as distinct from just a habit. You've got to get into the habit or the holy habit of just reading God's word, not in a legalistic way so that at the end of the week you can tick a box and say, well, I've done that. But you read the word of God to hear God speak to you. You read the word of God so that you can be in communion with God, so you can hear God's word speak into your heart. Whether he's correcting you, encouraging you, admonishing you, affirming his love for you, you are hearing God when you are studying the word of God. You also have to take time to develop a prayer life. It's very important that we be a people who pray, that we pray daily to God. Once again, I'm not talking about some kind of formal ritual that we go through. A lot of us have had enough of that in the early years of our lives. But the prayer life that we have is a prayer life that is truly in communion with God. We pray because we love God. We pray because we want to communicate with God. We pray because we want to praise God. We pray because we want to petition God. But prayer has to be a vital part of our lives. And also, we grow spiritually when we take the time to reflect upon the great truths in God's word. You have to think about things. You have to take time during any one week to think about the great themes in Scripture, the great message of the cross, the great message of God's love for us, the great message of a certainty that when we leave this life, and we all will die, there's no doubt about that, that when we leave this life, that we go home to be with God forever. They're the thoughts that we need to reflect upon. And we will become what we think about. If we think about the ways of God and reflect upon the ways of God, we will become a more godly, holy people. And that's how fruitfulness is developed in our lives. A third point about the parable, and we can't escape it, is that the parable reveals to us the power of sin. The power of sin causes people to resist God's message. God's message is one of love and grace and mercy to people. That's what God proclaims. And yet sin causes people to resist that message. It causes them to act in rebellion towards Almighty God. It causes people to refuse to accept his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. And the reason the seed doesn't grow is not because there's something wrong with the seed. It's because there's something wrong with the heart of the individual. The soil is not receptive. There's nothing wrong with the seed. The problem is the heart in which that seed is sown is a hard heart that will not respond. Let me just give you two examples of this. In the Gospel of John, we're told here about the church, not the church, the religious leaders of that day, the Pharisees and the publicans, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. In chapter 12, if you're following along in your Bible, in John chapter 12, verses 42 following, this is what Scripture says. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith, for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praises from men more than praise from God. Question. Are these people saved? Are they real disciples of Jesus? No. Do they believe? The Scripture says they believe. But it was a belief at a superficial level. And there are many people today here in our own country who believe on a superficial level. But they never do anything about what it is that they profess to believe. These people believed. But yet they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. Because if they confess that Jesus is the Christ, if they line themselves up with Jesus, they would have been put out of the synagogue, excommunicated. And it says that they loved the praises from men more than the praises from God. When Paul wrote his second letter to Timothy, he makes a statement that is a sad statement. He says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas was a man who was a servant with Paul, worked as a co-laborer with Paul. But the ways of the world got into his life and choked out the word that was there. And so Demas has forsaken me, Paul says, having loved this world. Do you see how Satan leads people away? He introduces you to the ways of the world, the world's agenda, the world's pleasure. And people fall for that. And we've all known fellow Christians who have walked with God for a period of time and then bought into the world's agenda only to find themselves being utterly deceived. A fourth point here is we need to recognize that not everybody is going to respond to the gospel. Not everyone who hears that word is going to embrace it. And not everybody who does respond will remain faithful to Almighty God. But those who do hear, those who do retain, those who do persevere, they're the ones who will endure to the end, and they are the ones who will produce in their lives a harvest to the glory of Almighty God. Finally, let me make this point, is that remember that the parable is told against a background of resistance and rejection of the word of Jesus. And I believe this is why Jesus told this parable at this point. Jesus was working miracles, healing people, teaching the people. And there were many people coming and putting their faith in Jesus. But then there were the leaders, the religious leaders, who were resisting that message. And Jesus needed to say something about that for the benefit of his disciples, who had to be confused as to why aren't our leaders embracing Jesus. And I think this is why Jesus told this parable, to show that people's hearts are not seeking God. There are few who seek after God. So who then is the faithful disciple of Jesus? The person who hears the word? No. It's the person who hears it, who retains it, who perseveres to the end. That person will produce a crop. And this is the type of people that the Lord Jesus would want each one of us to be. To listen carefully to what he says, and then to put it into practice throughout every day in our life. Now may God bless each one of us here this morning to be the type of disciples that Jesus wants. He will say to us this morning, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. I want to ask you, have you heard the Lord speak to your life this morning?